You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is time for our guests this morning, the Reverend Ross Johnson, Director of Disaster Response in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Reverend Johnson, it's good to have you in studio again this morning. How are you doing?
Great. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you here and talking about the upcoming 2015 National Disaster Response Conference. I know you spend a lot of time preparing for this, and your staff also works diligently in responding to disasters, helping districts and congregations respond to disasters with love and mercy. Tell us about this conference that's coming up here in October.
Well, every year we have a national disaster conference. Well, I should say every 2 years in a row we'll have a national disaster conference. Then on the third year, we have an international one. What we have scheduled right now in October 6th to the 9th, that's a Tuesday to a Friday, about noontime, we're going to be having our conference in Concordia, St. Louis. That's where we're going to be having it, here in St. Louis.
Well, very good. Here at the seminary in St. Louis, October 6th through the 9th, the 2015 National Disaster Response Conference. Who would be interested in coming to this conference? What types of things are you going to address in Disaster Response Conference?
We intentionally wanted to have a broad audience. Mm-hmm. So if you are a pastor, you're a seminarian, you are a lay person in your church, even if you're not a Lutheran, we would love to have you come and attend. So there's something for everybody. We broke up the conference to be covering three basic topics. One is, what is the theology of mercy, or what is our biblical historical reason? What is our Lutheran identity for responding in a time of disaster? And then the other topics that we'll have are case studies, where it's pastors or lay people that have gone through times of tragedy and disaster within their congregation around the United States. They come for about 45 minutes and they'll do a presentation about what has worked in their community, what didn't work, what did they learn, what do they wish that they could have done, how were they able to connect people to the church, how were they able to connect people to the gospel. So it really ends up being the case studies of best practices.
Let's talk about some of the speakers that you have lined up. We'll get to the case studies here in just a little bit. Who will we hear from throughout the conference? One of the first things I see, how worship can be healing in times of suffering.
Oh, yeah. That's, I think, going to be one of our favorite presentations. Pastor Whedon, who is the chaplain here at the International Center, is such a dynamic person, such a dynamic personality, and so passionate. And it's always fun hearing people that are passionate. He's passionate about worship. How does worship change people? How does it bring comfort to people? In times of sadness, in times of sorrow, in times of brokenness, in times of tragedy, one of our greatest blessings as Christians is to be able to go to a place of worship where we intimately commune with God, where that's where we receive our strength, through God's word, through the scriptures, through catechism, through the hymnal. And a lot of times we forget what is who we are as people. We're Christians first. We're Lutherans first. And where we get that greatest strength a lot of time is through his word and worship.
And that can be that central place where we come together and put down the chainsaws, put down all the stuff, just come together and hear God's word, receive his gifts in that time.
Exactly. When we see times of tragedy and brokenness and natural disaster, instantly we think about helping people rebuild their homes and their financial lives, which is absolutely needed and important. But even more so, there's a spiritual need that people have in times of tragedy. And I always want to be mindful that it's more than just helping hands, but also it's how do we help someone spiritually. That's where we as the church come in, and that's something that's unique that we as the church, we as Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, can offer not just our people, but our communities at large.
What about other speakers throughout the conference? We'll get to the case studies here in a little bit. Some of the other topics outside of the case studies that'll be addressed.
Well, part of it is always, what is our Lutheran identity? What is our Christian identity? And what is it that makes us unique? Because there are a lot of great organizations doing great disaster recovery work. For example, internationally, you have the UN, does great stuff. You have the Red Cross, that it is another organization that does great stuff. FEMA as well, especially when there's multi-state disasters going on simultaneously. But the church has a different niche, and we help people in a time of need, but also we have a Lutheran identity, a theology, a historical practice, helping out people in a time of need and disaster isn't anything new to the 21st century. It's something that Lutherans have been doing our entire 500 years of existence. And even before the Reformation, Christians were helping others in a time of need. And I think that's something that when we get more of a historical context and we get a deeper biblical understanding, it broadens our approach to disaster response. And we understand our Christian and our Lutheran identity better.
Hmm. Let's take a look at some of the case studies that you'll be presenting at the conference. These are real life experiences. These are disasters that are responses to disasters that have happened, it sounds like, in the last few years.
Yeah, all of these case studies have happened within the last 2 years, so they're all current. They're all, and some of these are ongoing disaster responses. And every disaster is different because every community is different. Every church is different. The assets that you have are different. The needs are different. So what we found at our conference is one of the favorite things and most liked things is the case studies, because all of a sudden it brings in a lot of reality.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like what we're all there about is, how do we help out and what are best practices and what can we learn from others? Intentionally, our conference schedule has a lot of breaks in it because we want people to network. We want them to talk. We want them to talk about what they're doing in their communities. We have people coming from all over the United States to this conference because they want to be in a place that they can learn from others and also learn from our presenters.
Share with us some of the case studies that we're going to learn from this year at the conference.
Yeah, we have Pastor Terry Makeland that's coming from St. John Lutheran Church in Pilgrim, Nebraska. That's the church that a little over a year ago that had the twin tornadoes that came in and completely devastated the church. It was probably one of the fastest debris removals because the tornado did it for them. When they went to the church, there was literally nothing but a cement slab left.
Wow.
And so it was, there wasn't much to pick up. Yeah. However, helping people pick up their broken lives was a whole nother matter. And then rebuilding, and that's the hardest thing in a time of disaster, is churches doing building programs is a difficult enough thing to do in the best of times when you have years to do it and there's a lot of forethought. But in a time of disaster, one day your church is there, the next day it's not. There's no warning. And then all of a sudden, churches are thrown into dealing with their insurance companies. Mm-hmm. How do they care for their members? How do they work in their community? And then how do they rebuild their church? How do they rebuild their members' lives? So it's very traumatic and it's overwhelming. That's where best practices, us bringing best practices and forethought to this, really helps out a lot.
We are creatures of habit, even when we don't like to admit it. We like things to be familiar on, you know, each Sunday, with the sanctuary to be familiar, even our same, you know, some of us sit in the same pew every Sunday, not necessarily everybody, but some of us do. We like things to be familiar. When something this drastic happens, that does change not just our Sunday morning, you know, worship life, but also what happens throughout the rest of the week, how many homes, things like that are affected, how many jobs are lost or changed. The quality of life for some is changed through a disaster experience like this. I'm glad that you pointed out that it really does, such a big change like this really affects our lives. And so working together as congregations to help rebuild those lives, rebuild that community, rebuild a church building, but also to stay together during that time and to even bring more in from the community that you can serve in that time of disaster.
Exactly. Being flexible in a time of disaster is absolutely key. And being compassionate on others and very understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Another case study that we have is Pastor Tom Herron, pastor of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Washington, Illinois. That's a great example of a pastor that really understood what community is. On Sunday morning, about a year and a half ago, tornadoes went through their community. And during church service, they all went to the basement, they came up, and their church was pretty much the only building that was standing, and their entire city almost was devastated. But they really understood how to help out their neighbors, and they were constantly finding niches to serve other people. And because of that, their entire community knows that Lutherans care, that Christians care. And Pastor Heron had contact with people that never would have stepped inside of his church. And he's gotten to be known in the community and been able to evangelize, been able to share the gospel, been able to welcome people in the church that never would have, you know, that never would have been interested before. But they saw his love in action. They saw the Lutherans' love in action. One of the projects that they did was providing dumpsters. There is so much debris that the city couldn't handle it. So they went to some private companies, started renting dumpsters and saying, hey, this is our gift. We as Lutherans want to help you, because the first edge is you just got to get all the debris out of your yard before you can ever plan on rebuilding. So that was there was a kind of a bottleneck there. But they saw the need of the community, and in the name of Christ, they said, hey, we want to help you. And they did it unashamedly. And another thing that was really great is Pastor Tom Heron really has a passion for children, and he made sure that not just the adults were taken care of, but that was there is ministry and compassion also on the youngest children. A lot of times children and the elderly are neglected, but he was really insightful in taking care of children in a time of disaster.
He's a former DCE.
The best.
I'm sure that all of that education, DCE education, and then his pastoral formation all put together makes for a very gifted servant of the Lord.
Andy, you make a good point, because everybody is different, and what everybody brings to the table is different. And that's why everybody's approach in a time of disaster is different. And there's not a cookie cutter thing that you can say that everybody needs to do it the same way. But that's why learning from others, and you kind of get your brain going and thinking, man, how could I do with it? With the abilities that I have, the skills that I have, how could I reach my community?
Sure. What are the gifts and talents? What are the assets that we have as a congregation that can be used to serve in a time of need?
Exactly.
All right. So let's see. Our Savior in Washington, Illinois. Other case studies?
Yeah. We have Pastor Seth Klimmer. He was the pastor in Estes Park, Colorado. About 2 years ago, a little less than 2 years ago, Colorado was just inundated with rain and flooding in the mountains, and all that drained, and it ended up washing away homes and roads and just completely wreaked havoc in the Colorado Rockies. And it didn't get a lot of press, but it did absolutely devastation to the community. And it wasn't just one community. It was to a great part of the state. People don't realize that floods are one of the nastiest disasters, because usually people can't get insurance for floods, or they're not in flood zones, so there's no requirement for insurance. And then it takes so much work to clean up after a flood.
Sure, a lot of people don't realize that floods aren't necessarily covered by your regular homeowner's insurance or the church's policy, things like that. Well, with just about a little less than a minute left, I want to point folks to information on how to register for this conference.
Yeah, you can go to our Facebook site. It's LCMS Disaster Response, or just go into the website, lcms.org/disaster. So it's lcms.org/disaster. You can register online. Registration is free. We're covering the cost of your lunch and your dinner. If you're coming from out of town, we welcome you. We're getting rooms at a discounted rate at the Crown, which is right by where our location is going to be. We'd love to have you. If you're a layperson, if you're a pastor, if you're a deaconess, you're a DCE, whatever you are, if you're interested in mercy, please come.
Very good. That's coming up October 6th. Through the 9th, here in St. Louis. Again, lcms.org/disaster. The Reverend Ross Johnson, thanks so much for being our guest this morning.
Thank you.
Coming up in just a little bit, we have our study of the daily New Testament reading. Hope you can join us for that as we study with Pastor Gerke from South Shore Trinity Lutheran Church in White Bear Lake, Minnesota. You're listening to His Time.